Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. Thank you once again for joining us today. I'm talking a little fast today because we've got so much to say about the times that we are living in. In fact, the title of our teaching today is Discerning the Times, a Crucial Message for Serious Christians. Discerning the time. Now, every Christian needs this message, but everyone who names the name of Christ is not open to receive it, and seems there's a spiritual fog that is capturing so many people that name the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's time to get ready for the coming of Jesus. It's time to get our act together, if we want to put it in plain language. If we're ever going to get ready for the coming of Christ that is so very near, it is in these last days that we are living in. The coming of the Lord could happen at any moment. It could happen before I'm done with this teaching today. The question is, do we understand how critical it is that we as God's people be living with an understanding of the times that would cause us to arrange our lives differently than those who do not understand? You know, the day of the Lord is going to come on so many as a thief in the night. It's going to come, and Christ coming, the coming for His bride is going to be like the lightning that shines from the east to the west. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when it happens. And it's been a long time coming, and a lot of people have been lulled into a false security. And I will call it spiritual slumber, a spiritual sleep that has come upon many pastors, many leaders of denominations. And we see people backsliding instead of making progress and making preparation for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the coming of the great tribulation, the day of the Lord. So the title of our message, once again, Discerning the Times, a Crucial Message for Serious Christians. Every Christian should be very serious about what we're exposing ourselves to and what we're receiving. I don't know what kind of church you go to. I pray you go to one that's going to challenge you every time you come together to get ready for the coming. In fact, I pray you're in a church that's going to challenge you to be ready for the coming of Christ, because there is not going to be an opportunity to get ready for His coming, for His bride, after the rapture. It's going to happen very quickly. And to them that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation, which simply means He's not coming in this secret coming to judge sin and sinners. He's coming for His redeemed ones. And it is a secret coming. At midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom comes. Unexpectedly He came. He came at midnight to take His bride. At midnight? He couldn't wait till daylight. There was no time for the foolish virgins, those without discernment, to get ready. But those who had discerning of the times knew He could come at any time, so they had to be ready, and they were ready. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and they went out to meet Him with their lamps trimmed and burning, their lamps full of oil, ready for His coming. Discerning the times is a crucial message for people living in the last days as we are. Understanding the times. Among the tribes of Israel, before I read the scripture, There were people who pledged themselves to follow King David and to fight against any enemy. And among them were the sons of Issachar. From all the other tribes of Israel were warriors, mighty men of valor, and soldiers that fought valiantly. And they were accomplished soldiers. They were armed with weapons of war, swords and shields and bows and slings. Ah, but the sons of Issachar brought their expertise. Their weaponry was discernment. So look at this in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. And the children of Issachar, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all the brethren were at their commandment. I like the paraphrase. It says, of the tribes of Issachar were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, and these men understood the times of the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Jesus chided the Pharisees for their lack of discernment, their lack of understanding of the times. In Matthew 16, 1 through 4, listen. The Pharisees also and the Sadducees came in tempting and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowring. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. There shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Listen, he said, you can discern the weather by the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. I remember the lyrics of a popular Christian song from my early ministry and my early Christian life, and when we were acutely aware of the soon coming of Jesus, and the lyrics were this: signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your heads. Redemption draweth nigh. Constantly astounded that so many Christians in particular can be so blind to something so very clear. And I'm really taken back that so many ministers of the gospel lack a discerning of the times. What should be the message today? What should we be challenging people to do to be ready for the coming of Jesus? What should be the atmosphere in our meetings when we come together? Is there a brand new spirit of expectation in the air? Do we recognize we're going to stand before Him? He's not just going to catch us up and that's the end of things. There's a judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with where you spend eternity, but it has a lot to do with how we're going to respond when we're in the presence of our Savior and we account for how we've used our time and our talent and our money and our energies here in His behalf. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment we don't hear much about any judgments, let alone the judgment seat of Christ. It's like we're giving away free tickets to heaven and you just grab your ticket and live any way you want to. I'm not talking about works to obtain salvation. I'm talking about works that verify salvation. And in particular, how we should be living our lives in the light that we have, the understanding we have of the soon coming of Jesus, and then the outpouring of God's wrath without the mixture of mercy during the tribulation period. I like what one pastor comments. I'm going to read what he said. He said, "What do you think the main issue is today facing the church?" I'm always asked that question, and I always answer basically the same way. The main issue facing the church is the lack of discernment. That is the main issue facing the church. The church doesn't distinguish between truth or falsehood. It has a defective immune system. It has a case of spiritual AIDS. It does not have the ability to fight error because it doesn't truly know the truth. It doesn't have enough truth antibodies to fight off error. The church today, the modern church today, is ignorant. It's blissfully ignorant. And consequently, it is victimized easily by error. And this is a serious problem. Weak theology, shallow, superficial knowledge of Scripture, all kinds of uncalled, unqualified people standing in pulpits who were not sent by God, like the false prophets that Jeremiah talks about, and don't have the Word of God and don't understand it, are inventing all kinds of things that the church, by and large, is buying into. A superficial knowledge of Scripture, a weak theology, all kinds of error flooding into the church cripples discernment. And what makes it worse is that there's a movement to say that the tolerance of all of this is the purest expression of Christian love, right? And if you call these people into question, and you call what they're saying into question and say that's not the truth, it's error, you are unloving, you are divisive, and you are striking a blow against the unity of the church. And so you have error flooding the church. Dear friend of mine, I want to amen this very strongly and loudly today. Failure to discern the times and to act appropriately will lead to deceit and destruction. Remember the story of Naaman, the Assyrian captain who had leprosy, who dipped 7 times in Jordan as Elisha's instruction? He wanted to pay Elisha in gratitude, and Elisha refused it. Because, listen, we got a movement today that you have to pay. You have to give money, material, silver, gold, in order to quote unquote sow a seed in order to get your need met. And the seed is always material. It's not faith in the finished work of Jesus. I'm going to say that loud and clear. It is not faith in the finished work of Jesus. My Bible tells me that it's His stripes that bought our healing. It is His work, redeeming work on the cross, that brought our salvation and opened the door for answered prayer, that the prayer of faith would heal the sick and the Lord would raise them up. In my Bible, He paid the price for our healing, just like He paid the price for our salvation. And it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Faith is sowing the seed, not giving money. For the Scripture says very clearly that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of our fathers, their fathers in that day, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, how dare we put a premium and a price on the priceless blood of Jesus, the priceless gift of God's only begotten Son, so that we can be saved? It cost Him everything, and it cost us nothing but faith in His finished work to receive it. Dear friend of mine, we're living in a day when the material, and particularly money and things and the physical and the temporal, have taken the place of the spiritual and the eternal. What a day that we're living in when the church is earthbound. And to see Scripture through the lens of the material, the momentary gratification of money and things and what fortunes can bring us. Listen, Elisha refused. But Elisha's servant Gehazi heard that offer, and he ran and he caught up with the man who had been cleansed of leprosy. And he said, "My master's changed his mind." And he took that money. He took those gifts, whatever it was that was so expensive. He took it for himself. And here's how the prophet who God showed him what had happened responded in 2 Kings 5:26 and 27. It says, "And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" Listen carefully. Is it a time to receive money? I'm not talking about tithing or giving to a ministry, a mission work, a church. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have to give something material to buy, literally to buy, what Jesus bought and paid for at the cross. That's the crux of the matter. That's the problem with this modern day movement that has come in. It didn't creep in. It come roaring in to the church of Jesus Christ, looking for the soon coming of Jesus, traveling light, not putting our roots deep into the ground of this world that is passing, but lifting our heads. Wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. So we're told by Christ, don't lay it up on the earth, where the thief can steal it and the moth and rust can corrupt it. For where your heart is, lay it up in heaven. Hallelujah. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. I believe God blesses giving. Given it shall be given unto you. I'm not talking about the law of reciprocals. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. I'm talking about just giving to get out of a selfishness that exactly matches the value system of a world under the influence of the enemy, who has no discernment of the times, no recognition that the wrath of God is coming upon all the earth. The tribulation is coming, and no one can escape that. Dear friend of mine, this is a day of grace. This is a day of mercy. This is a day of we should be in preparation for the soon coming of Jesus. And not only that, but being safe from the wrath to come. Listen to what Elisha said to this wicked servant. "Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" In other words, is this a time? Someone has been healed and now it's time to take money for that and live in opulence? "The leprosy," he said, verse 27, "therefore of Naaman shall cleave to thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. It literally consumed his body. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that message." Listen, most messages from true prophets are not enjoyable because they're going to expose sin for what it is, Satan for who he is, and it's going to expose false prophets for whom they are. Someone has well said, "Money is a good servant, but a poor master. The lure of gold is stronger than the human will, And with many a man, it stands between his soul and his God. Someday, it will be discovered that the bars that shut many out of the kingdom of heaven are forged of silver and gold. The scriptures warn in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, that people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. They that would be rich, that's the ultimate goal of their life, is getting money and all of see the prestige and all of the power, all of the false security that it can give them. For the love of money, not money itself, it's how it's used and what it can do to us if we let it. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, what a statement today on this modern day movement called the prosperity movement. God says it clearly in His Word. It's a greeting the Apostle Paul gave. I wish above all things you prosper and be in good health. Listen, even as your soul prospers, dear friend, when your soul prospers, you discern the difference between the false security of the wealth of the world and the wonderful, wonderful security of knowing that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that you've got oil in your lamp, that you are ready even at midnight when there's a cry, the bridegroom cometh, you are ready to go out to meet Him. Hallelujah. This is why we need discernment today. Listen, that's why we need the strong meat of the Word, not just pablum on Sunday. We need to be challenged. We need to grow spiritually to where we can chew on the meat of the Word of God. For strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses, and one of those senses is discernment. Not the gift of discerning of spirits, but just plain discernment, being able to understand good and evil. You'd think that'd be simple. I mean, here we are in the Halloween season, and we're going to see the devil in a red jumpsuit with horns. We're going to see angels in white celestial robes and a halo, if people want to dress as an angel or the devil. Listen, the scripture said it, there's no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Oh, dear friend of mine, how we need discernment today. Discerning good from evil isn't that simple. The Bible said even if an angel bring you another gospel, and it contradicts the truth of Scripture, and it contradicts the original, let him be anathema. That's one of the strongest words for the God cursing that, because it's going to lead people to a false security, to a dead end instead of heaven in the end. Listen, friend of mine, it's going to lead people to hell. It's where it's going to lead them if they keep following that looks good, that looks right, that looks bright, but in fact is a lie disguised. The Bible says we're to beware of wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. No marvel if Satan himself appear as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Demons influencing and impacting Christians, because we are not mature enough in the Lord, we're not learned enough in the Scripture to discern good from evil. when evil puts on a disguise, we can't see through it. And I'm going to tell you, you get in the Word of God, it'll become a lamp to your feet, a light to your pathway. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, the more you study the Scripture, the more you're going to grow. You start with milk, but you don't stay on milk. You graduate to meat. And in that maturing process, hallelujah, you become discerning. You may not be able to theologically argue your point, but you'll just know something isn't right, and you will go to the Word, and you'll begin to study, and you'll begin to seek God for why you just get this flag, and you'll find it in the Word of God. Listen, you can't follow personalities today. You can't follow the crowd today. You can't follow what is trending. You must follow what is true. There's where safety is today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to hear the truth on Sunday. I don't want to hear anything less, because if it hits me, I want to be like David. Search me, O Lord. Turn the light on me. Shine that light on me. See if there's an unclean way that I can't see. I don't want to be, let me use some terms, a plain old term. I don't want to be hoodwinked. I don't want to be hornswoggled. I don't want to be defrauded of my right as a child of God to walk in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, not in the bondage and blindness of deception. Listen, this is so important today. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He was never known to mince words. And he said, what we see in many Christian circles today is a quasi-Christianity achieving acceptance by compromise. It is dickering with the unregenerate world for acceptance. And as someone said recently, it's offering Christ at bargain prices to win customers. The total result is a conglomerate religious mess that cannot but make the reverent Christian sick at heart. That's why we titled this message, Discerning the Times, a crucial message to serious Christians. Question I want to pose to you today, are you a serious Christian? Are you a serious Christian? Are you a seeker of truth today? Not just saying, what's trending? What's really up with the first church of what's happening now? Where's everybody going? Who is everybody following? And what are they getting out of it? Are they getting cleansed by the washing of water, by the Word, to be that glorious bride that Christ is coming for? Or are we getting more and more conditioned to seek the same things the world is seeking after? Are we going against the grain, a counterculture? Are we going to be swept away with the riptide of the falling away that the Bible said is going to occur? And I believe, and many others I believe would say the same thing, that understand the times. The falling away has begun. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The Spirit speaketh expressly, the Scripture said, that in the last days where we're living, some shall depart from the faith. That's what the falling away is all about. Listen, reason they're departing, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, his ministers, coming on as ministers of righteousness, taking us away from seeking to be pure, seeking to be holy, seeking to be righteous. Not just the positional that we get when we get saved, but the practical that we walk out and live out as children of God, the true children of God, as serious Christians. Are you a serious Christian today? Do you want to live for God? Or you just want to get a free ticket to heaven and live like the devil? That's a contradiction. That's a contradiction. He that committeth sin, 1 John says, listen, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. He that committeth, live habitually in, that's what it means, without any conviction, is of the devil. Plain, simple truth. Listen, if you're in that condition and you don't have any conviction, you live in that and you just say, hey, I'm not even going to be bothered with what Jesus taught, what he says I should be doing, how I should be living. I throw discernment out the window. Just let me go to church and be told how rich I'm going to get and how God's going to get me out of any situation I'm in as I build and grow my faith. And I'm going to live in this bubble and be rich and happy in terms of what riches can bring me. Oh, friend, what a lie from the devil. Many are going to say into Christ on that day when people stand before him as their judge, Lord, 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 we've done many works in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. And he will say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I want to be challenged now. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be blinded by the devil so that I think that I'm ready to stand in the presence of Jesus and that I know that he knows who I am because I know him as my Lord and Savior. Listen, friend, there are many people that are going to miss heaven because they're sitting in churches that are in complete, total compromise, contradicting the Word of God. In the name of love, in the name of acceptance, in the name of so many things, but not in the name of Jesus Christ. They cannot do this in his name. If you're in a church like that, that are having meetings deciding what parts of Scripture we're going to accept and what parts we're going to reject, you're not a serious Christian. And you need to be. Because that day is approaching. And it's coming very, very quickly. Listen, friend of mine. I have been in ministry now for 50 years. This coming January will mark 50 years of ministry. 50 years of being a pastor, evangelist, pastor of a church all of that time, president, director of this organization, and evangelist always having an outreach to reach other people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a crucial time that we need to be people of holy discernment, that we can discern good from evil, even when evil parades itself as good. Friend of mine, today we need to get back in the Word of God, to get under ministries that are going to tell us the truth, not try to just take from us, promising all kinds of pie in the sky. God will bless your giving. God will bless everything that you do, spiritual law. But God never promised in His Word to make you as rich as the Wall Street moguls. He never promised in His Word to make you like the sports star, the Hollywood star, to live in that kind of opulence, oblivious to the times that we are living. That's why Jesus said it would be impossible for they that are rich with just world's riches and looking to them for everything they need and not looking to Him. How can a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? He said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And his disciples said, well, who can be saved? Who then can be saved if it's that tough, if it's that hard? And Jesus said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. You can be the wealthiest, most wealthy man in the world, but when you discern that that wealth is not your Savior and it's not your safe place, and it will certainly never satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. You can come to Christ and God can change your value system. He will, in fact, change you from the inside out. And you will see things differently. You will value things differently. And when you do, you'll find a fulfillment in Him that all of the riches and wealth of the world could never give you. And you'll find more fulfillment in giving than getting. It'll all change. And you'll be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, it's time to get ready so you can be ready. For surely the coming of the Lord is nearer than when we believed. And today, if you don't know Jesus, come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to Him just like you are, with all your messed up value system and all of your blindness. And yet today, in that dark place, a light, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the good news. God gave His Son to save you from yourself, from your sin, and from Satan, to seal you with the Holy Spirit, keep you safe from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus today. Come and receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, your Sovereign and your King. Come today. Don't wait a moment longer. And dear precious Christian friend, be careful who you follow and what you hear. Get in your Bible before you go to a Bible study. Get in your Bible before you even go to church. And get in your Bible when you leave. Check it out. God will speak to you by His Spirit through His Word. And preachers that preach the truth, please support them, because many, many are compromising because it's the last days. Oh, friend, let's get ready. Let's be ready, for Jesus is coming soon.